mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited.
What is the difference between being frugal and being a cheapskate?
Perspective.
Chewy, can you help me with this one? You've been around a lot of cheapskates.
And yeah. I know who they frugal
who think they're frugal. But we know they're cheapskates.
I think cheap takes it to another level. Frugal, you're frugal, right?
So all right, let me put this.
I love when he uses the word to define the word.
Frugal, you're frugal.
I think, to use an example of someone we know, I think Homer is frugal. Doesn't like spending his money.
Yes.
But he will, like, he spends money on charities. He's frugal. The way you describe your boy Brett, he's cheap.
Yeah.
Like, kind of searching for your wallet when it's your turn to buy around.
Hold on, let me ask you this, though. Does it have anything to do with your means? Right?
Like how much you could afford or how much you could spend.
Worth a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And he's tighter than two coats of paint. That's cheap.
But so, also, I refuse, because everyone's got him. I've heard Don Beebe tell him. I've heard you tell him. Doug Peterson, stories of Brett not paying his golf bets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anybody, you pay your golf bet, but he's not paying his golf bet because he's cheap.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would say. Yeah, I mean.
Or dishonorable.
There is that.
There's a lot of other examples to get to that if you want to talk about that with him.
Who might not be able to afford, but they still pay it because, in their mind, when you have a debt, you pay your debt. When you make a bet and you lose, you pay off the bet. I ask this because Joshy brought this story to our attention, and it's just wild. It's a gentleman who posted a picture of himself. So congratulations on tattling on yourself also, by the way, buddy. Wingstop wings and fries are solid. The bill was $15.08. I gave him $15 and said, "We good?" He barked at me, $15.08. They don't realize they get a lot of goodwill by eating the 8 cents. No.
You know what the funny thing is?
What?
How you started the show. I've got a buddy in Florida who lives in Atlanta that owns 400 Wingstops. He's a franchise guy.
Sure.
And he is the cheapest MF-er I've ever met in my entire life.
Notice you didn't say frugal.
Not frugal.
Yeah, I don't think you can own 400 franchises.
Not frugal. And he's got the biggest alligator arms I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, so it's one thing to be frugal or make financially sound decisions or financially challenging decisions. This is a guy who went into Wingstop and purchased wings and fries. And the bill came to $15.08. And he thought, I don't know what we were, Wild Wild West? Old-timey, hey, I'll trade you this wooden nickel for some French fries. $15.08 was the bill, and he thought if he slid a 10 and a fiver across the counter, they would be square. There's so many layers to this that to me are just like, what? The kid or whoever it is working the counter doesn't have the authority to make that decision.
No.
Even if he wanted to. Even if he wanted to be like, yeah, you know, it's close enough. I'll dig 8 cents in change out of my pocket. Like, how does somebody reach this level of emboldenedness?
I guarantee the guy's loaded and he is cheap.
Well, I can
tell. He's just cheap. Why wouldn't you give him 16 and say, here you go?
I could tell you a little history about the fella. He is a gambling tout. Now, you can make your own decisions on how those people represent themselves, how honest they typically are. There are some more than others. But a lot of those guys, especially the ones who exist solely on the internet, aren't the most savory of characters. And this is a classic, like, you help me, I help you type scenario. But it's not a mom and pop shop. Like, it is a massive franchise. They have thousands of Wingstops. The person there can't make any decision. If I, at the end of the shift at Wingstop, am 8 cents short, guess whose pocket the 8 cents comes out of?
Or guess who's fired?
Right. Right. Mine.
The other thing that I thought of, Gabe, was this is one guy. You know how many customers Wingstop services over the course of a year?
Just eat 8 cents from all of them?
Millions and millions of people. Now, I don't know how many are frequenting this specific Wingstop, but to sit there and think that my 8 cents is not potentially duplicated by every person that walks through is, again, just sort of existing in that vacuum, just like not recognizing once again we live in a society. I'm blown away that somebody, and you mentioned mom and pop shop. I would say at a mom and pop shop, even if they have the authority to do it, that's where you shouldn't do it. Like,
yeah, that's where you're chewing. Just, hey, just keep the 16. I don't need the change back.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like the places I go where the owner's working and he goes like, give me 15. I don't care. Like, I'm still making our money. I'm the one who keeps control of the books. I'll make it work. Like, it doesn't make sense at a place like this.
The minimum wage kid running the cash register at Wingstop.
But this is how entitled people work. You know, they think everyone's there to serve them. And our guy number four, hey, let me, all his whole life, right? Let me buy you a drink. Hey, let me pick that up, right? Let me get this. And then it gets contagious. And I got to pay for it? What? I have to pay for something? I know a lot of people like that. And I hear a lot of stories.
I'm sure.
So you're not surprised by this. You're not surprised by this dude who walked into Wingstop and said, oh, my bill is $15.08. Here's 15. Call it square.
And things cost what they cost, man. Like, didn't we get rid of the barter system ages ago? I mean, other than your guy, the Blammer, who likes to trade things for corn all the time still. But, you know, that's out in farmland. When you decide to walk into an establishment, you can't just be like, oh, here's 15. The 8 cents is on goodwill.
And I'll do you one better, Joshua. You said that he is a betting guy, right? He makes all these prop bets. He makes all these bets, and he shows how successful he is. His handle is WINS, his initials and WINS. Let's say you walk up to the sports book, and you say, I won $1,000. And they're like, will you take 998? I guarantee he's going to be like, no, I won $1,000. Like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Would that be acceptable for him? Of course not.
No.
Like, again, we go back to this idea of just, Chewy, what was the word that you used?
Entitlement?
There it is. Thank you. Joshy, thanks for saving me. Yeah. I don't really know what I was thinking.
That's a lot
there.
Of words. I'm like, you want one?
We jumped the gun there. Yeah. I was waiting to see Chewy's list of words that he has said, or he thought he has said, throughout the course of this segment.
Joshy saved my butt there. Have you ever experienced something like that?
But is? All right, now what's frugal? Frugal, this is my idea of frugal. There are some things, mostly food, that you cannot skimp on. Am I right?
Like, what are you talking about?
Frugal, you hear skimp. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Like, if you're having a dinner party, try not to take anyone out here.
Well, that's not going to happen.
You can't go to Aldi and buy the meat. I'm sorry. Aldi's a fine store. But you can't go there and buy the meat.
No, you're having people, you're having company over, you got to put your best foot forward.
Am I right?
You got to put your best foot forward.
So if you're doing that,
if you're having a dinner party, you go to Bunzel's.
There's certain food you cannot skimp on. You can't.
And meat would be one of them.
Meat would be one.
What else?
Does this ground beef look good to you? Nah, it's close enough.
It's not that great.
Flip it over.
I know what this other one is, wine.
Yeah.
I've replaced things in my car that I've never learned, that I had to teach myself how to do via YouTube videos and reading online. I'm saving myself $250. It would be very easy just to go to the shop down the road and do it. But I think, hey, if I give an hour of time and I buy the part online, why would I not save the $250? Where I know many people just go out and they say, screw it. I don't want to deal with it. I can just have somebody do it and I know it'll be done right. Well, most of the time. But like for me, I'll take that extra step just because it's like, well, I can have $250 in my pocket.
And in your mind, that's you being frugal.
Yes.
Right? I want to be clear.
Yes.
Like produce is another thing. You can't. I mean, lettuce is meant to be green, not yellow. Okay? It really. And I know my certain stores, what their strengths and what their weaknesses is.
Right, so you also have time to go to multiple stores. Can you imagine?
I do.
I gotta swing by this place to grab my meat. I gotta swing by this place to grab the veggies.
Which I understand, because again, there's like a butcher shop, right? You got different place for your veggies?
Oh, yeah.
There's a discount grocery store in the Milwaukee area that has some of the best produce I've ever seen in my life. And it is so cheap. And you go and it's like in perfect condition. And you're like, I would have never thought, had I just decided to wander in here, that this would be this nice.
See, and I hate the word cheap. And I know you just used it, and I'm not trying to throw stones at you, but like I always say inexpensive. For whatever reason, cheap to me sounds cheap.
Is this like you and the word fat, where you don't like saying the word fat?
Yes, I also don't like saying that word. Now, I have been known to use it occasionally.
But I got a buddy. I got a buddy that buys, like, he buys $100 bathing suits, right?
Okay.
Which is obnoxious, correct?
That's a weird thing to spend your money on.
I know. I got mine on Amazon, $19.99, and they're I love them.
Yeah,
I can't get enough
of
them.
See, I don't.
Yeah, well, we haven't crossed that bridge yet.
I don't think that's you being frugal. I think that's your buddy being over the top.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because spending $20 on a pair of swimming trunks.
Like, Gabe.
That seems reasonable.
Gabe, golf shirts?
Yeah.
Now, I know you love Robot.
Yeah.
Robot.
Oh, they're expensive.
But you can go on TGW.
Yeah. Which is,
and get golf shirts for like $20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're 2 years old, but who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
So I got a couple of definitions here of the word frugal. Value conscious. Frugal people are focused on getting the most value for their money. They consider factors like quality, durability, and long-term cost rather than just the lowest price. Intentional spending. Thoughtful decisions about where to spend their money, prioritizing experiences and things that add value to their life while cutting back on unnecessary expenses. Not wasteful. Frugal individuals are mindful of minimizing waste and making the most of the resources they have. Being frugal does not mean being unwilling to spend money on others or for good causes. Whereas I would argue cheapskate, which is what we started this whole thing with.
Yeah.
If you're a cheapskate, I don't know that you're spending money on others. I don't know if you're donating to charities
Another
and whatnot.
One. You can't skimp on ketchup.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
1,000,000%.
No way.
1,000%.
Wait, so you're telling
completely skimp on ketchup.
You're telling me that if I walked in here and you could do a blind ketchup taste test. You're going to tell me the difference
all
between
day long. Yes, I could.
Between the Kroger.
Guess what's happening on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this week?
Between
you
the Kroger
why?
Brand
this, I'll tell
and
you
the
why.
Heinz brand.
Because when you get Heinz and put it in, because we come down here for 3 months.
Yeah.
Ketchup should last 3 months, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I have unnamed buys cheapo.
Someone,
I buy Heinz.
Who could it possibly be?
I buy Heinz. And when I get back there. Heinz, nice and red. This the other one, the oil separated, the sugar, and all the sludge goes to the bottom.
So shake it.
Nope. I put my name on mine. I'm like, no, no.
Wait, you
no,
cross out the Heinz
no.
and put Chewy.
If you want to buy that, you use that.
You got your own ketchup.
I will use mine.
Oh, hey, let me just tell you. You may be a, what do they call a sommelier? You may be
yes.
a ketchup liaison. I don't know. But my kids eat more ketchup than anyone in the world. They can't tell the difference.
You shouldn't have to shake ketchup, Gabe. Are you with me?
No, you have to shake every ketchup.
100%. And every condiment. Well, maybe not mayonnaise.
Yeah,
probably
mayonnaise.
Should shake mayonnaise. If you get the natural mayonnaise, it's separated.
Oh, if you get the if you get the natural mayonnaise, sure.
You shake
peanut butter. You get natural peanut butter. That's separated.
Oh, you gotta.
Too.
Yeah, you gotta just flip that bad boy upside down and then,
not with Jiffy.
I hope it doesn't leak.
Not with Jiffy.
Well, yeah, because it's not going to be natural.
It's natural to me.
How many ketchups can we pull in here this week, guys? Let's pick a day.
Okay,
we're going to taste that. We'll get them the little cups.
I refuse to take part.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, do you need
to take part?
I don't even want to. I hate ketchup. It's
well, no,
gross.
You don't have to.
It
eat.
Is
it's
gross.
For this guy. It's just disgusting. For the big guy. He thinks he can. It'd be like when people used to say they could tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke and Coke Zero.
I did that perfect, by the way, once we mention it. Did 6 for 6 on
I
that.
I mean,
that
if you perfect. Can't tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah,
like,
I thought the same thing, and then I watched other people do it, and they all failed.
Then their palates can't be trusted. Coke and Pepsi are two very distinct and different
flavors.
That's
what I thought.
Like, even the carbonation's different.
Great.
Well, all right. What's a cheap, like, RC Cola? Is that cheap?
I mean, it's cheaper. I mean, whatever the store brand is, you know, like Jolly Good Cola.
Yeah.
Chewy, do you think you could differentiate between a bottle of ketchup and a packet of ketchup?
I don't know. Because you can definitely tell the difference between a fountain drink and one out of the
you
can.
You can tell the difference between can and bottle.
Yes. Can you, though?
I did.
I guess I already said yes.
I agree.
All right. So,
but actually, I don't.
If you want to, you can just take the ketchup straight. But would you like a vehicle for the ketchup? Do you want me to bring something
French
in
fries?
For like something to
hash
dip?
Browns?
Yeah, but they're going to be cold.
No, well, we can figure
can
it out.
Can you eat ketchup with anything cold? I don't think you can.
I mean, you can. I mean,
no.
You can.
I don't think you can.
I don't know if I'd recommend
it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
Maybe something you eat.
It's not
with
like
ketchup.
Ranch and veggies.
No, it's cold.
Like the other day, I housed a cold burger because it was just sitting there, and I was like, I'll eat this, and dipped it in ketchup. But question, do you want french fries? You want tater tots? You want what do you, or do you,
you
just
want
to stick you your
want
finger
chicken,
in?
You want chicken nuggets?
We have a toaster oven upstairs.
Yeah, we've got,
we
like,
could easily
can,
make
just
sure
fries.
Okay.
Just fries.
All right, we'll get you some fries.
We get the little cups.
Yep, we'll get some ketchup.
I'll steal them from Portillo's. Sorry, Portillo's.
All right, we'll come up with the ketchup lineup.
Yeah, this will be easy.
Do they all have to? They all have to be fresh, right? Like you have to. They have to be unopened because they certainly deteriorate over time.
Yeah, but again, we can find a bunch of ketchup. Do you? What's your favorite brand?
Heinz.
All right,
is the
we'll
best.
Get one Heinz. I'll get a Sendix brand.
Heinz, Sendix.
Yeah.
Hunt's.
Yeah. Oh, how do you feel about Hunt's?
Terrible. That's the stuff that separates.
What are the other brands?
I mean, I think it's just Heinz and Hunt's.
I think,
and then it's just generic
big ketchup
food. Food. What's that?
Ketchup.
Food? There's food. So food court. Food.
Food. Food.
I can't think of
Oliver
the name of
Twist
the brand.
Over here. Yeah. Food. Glorious food. Let's take a break. Let's get to Jason Wilde. I can't believe we're gonna have a ketchup taste test. This is fantastic. Ah. Okay, Ryan from Aguadago, you cut it out. It's too early for that mouth on you this morning on the Carbis Talking Text Line. Jason Wilde coming up next.
Is your business ready to take the next step? At Fifth Third Commercial Bank Wisconsin, our team of local experienced advisors is here to propel you forward. We understand your needs and offer in-depth expertise, cutting-edge technology, and tailored solutions to streamline your cash collections, automate payments, and safeguard your assets with top-notch fraud mitigation tools. So contact Fifth Third in downtown Milwaukee today. Let's eliminate the non-value add work so you can focus on what truly matters most. And this is what matters most to Fifth Third, growing your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player. And the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Frankie in the 262 jumping on the old Carbless talking text line, 800-990-3776. He says, Chewy, I love you, but there's not a chance in HE double hockey sticks that you can tell the difference between ketchup.
I'm telling you, because Hunt's is the best.
No.
So I'm going to establish which one's Hunt's, and then I'm going to peel my
you
way
You mean
back.
Heinz.
Oh.
Hunt's? Heinz. Yeah. I know. I was offsides. Okay. Only a 5-yard penalty.
Jason Wilde joining us now. Jason, Chewy tells us he can tell the difference between ketchups. Do you believe him? Jason's speechless. Did we lose Jason?
It says he should be on, so let's try something else here quick.
You need
Good
me?
Good morning.
Do you need me?
Jason, are you there? Okay. I'll give him another call.
We don't have Jason. All right. Lots of folks weighing in, actually, on the Carbless talking text line. Primal Kitchen's ketchup is the best, and it's okay for you, doesn't have grams and grams of sugar. That from our friend Matt in the 920. So now all of a sudden we have people who are weighing in with their ketchup suggestions. Billy in Sussex says, can we all agree that anyone who puts ketchups on their eggs is a psycho?
Ugh. Yeah, that's gross. Now, hot sauce?
What is the difference?
Between ketchup and hot sauce?
I'm just saying, if you're going to put something on your eggs, what's the difference if it's hot red sauce or if it's just red sauce?
The ketchup, flavor?
Ketchup is disgusting.
You are the... What just happened?
I know, but it's kind of gross, right? I mean, burger's about it.
Let's try Jason
like,
again.
A lot of times I'll have mustard with my fries.
Interesting.
Or vinegar with fries?
I mean, people do that.
Yeah.
Like you go to a nicer restaurant, you get an aioli.
Yeah. Ketchup? Use a lot. I know kids use it by the gallons. All right.
Jason Wilde joining us.
Did everyone hear that or just me?
Just you. Chewy.
Did not.
Good morning, Jason.
I love ketchup. I love Chewy. And I can 100% tell the difference between Heinz ketchup and Hunt's ketchup.
Really?
I'm a Heinz guy, so I can't be fully on board with Chewy, but I can.
Well, so is he. He just got confused, Jason. In full transparency, he is also a Heinz guy. He just got confused.
In a shocking development, Chewy confused himself.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, good. Then I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am could not be more Team Chewy, which, again, it's always a little bit alarming.
Listen, we're going to do this, Jason. This week, we're going to do the blind taste test, and Chewy's going to tell us what each of the brands of each of the...
What are you doing Friday? You want to come down and hang out with your guy? See if fantastic. You can pass
you
the test,
Jason
too?
Jason in here as well, doing the blind taste test for ketchup?
I would love to, but unfortunately, I have a conflict. I'll have to perform one in my own laboratory, my own ketchup laboratory.
Do you put it on hot dogs, Jason?
I do.
Okay.
I do like Stadium Secret sauce a lot.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
So that is my preference.
Every time.
It's a taste of my childhood is what it is.
Well, this is a good week to talk about the old ketchup on a hot dog thing as the Brewers are taking on the Cubs this week. But we'll get to that as the show rolls on. Jason, let's stick with the Green Bay Packers for a moment. Mark Murphy said that his biggest regret is the fact that he didn't win a Super Bowl with Matt LaFleur and with Brian Gutekunst. Did that surprise you at all that was Mark Murphy's biggest regret from his time with the Green Bay Packers?
What should have been his regret instead?
I wondered if it would have been the way that the Aaron Rodgers thing sort of
devolved.
Rolled. I was trying to think of a better word but yes, the way that it went down.
Ooh. I would say the Super Bowl, not winning a Super Bowl would be above that. I mean, look, he is who he is, right? I mean, going on the WIAA girls basketball telecast.
I forgot about that.
Publicly saying, well, I mean, if we don't have any other options, I guess we take him back about a four-time NFL MVP. He is who he is. I do think that there are probably some people in the building, as much as they love Mark and believe he did a lot of really good things and was a consensus builder in the building, which I think is a good thing. At the same time, I do think they're looking forward to Ed Policy and feeling like they can confidently go to work every day and not worry about what the president might say. I mean, there was another example of it a couple weeks ago, right? When somehow, some way, Dave Schrader from WBAY TV is at a golf outing that Mark Murphy is at. And Jair Alexander, the news is that he's being released. And Mark Murphy confirms it and then comments on it. I don't think Bob Harlan would have done that. And I don't think Ed Policy will do that sort of thing. So I'm going to miss that. You just never know what he's going to say. He's a complicated fella. But look, I think what he's saying without saying there is, you know, they won a Super Bowl on his watch. But it was with the two guys that Bob Harlan not only hired, but before passing the torch to Murphy, and I thought this was really interesting, and I know both myself and Domofsky are going to write about this. We're under a current embargo until later today. But that on the way out the door, Harlan extended both of those guys' contracts, both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy, in order to make sure that those guys were taken care of in case the next president wanted to go in a different direction. And that is not what has happened here with Mark Murphy. Both of those, the head coach and the general manager, Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, have 2 years left on their deals, this year and next year. And so I think that's a little interesting. But the bottom line is that they did win a Super Bowl during his tenure. It was with a coach, a general manager that the other president hired, and then a coach that the general manager hired, which gets into the structure, which is also different nowadays.
Jason, back to Jair. It's just...
I thought we were done with
it. No, it's just weird to me that they offer him a contract he knew he wasn't going to take. Why didn't they just cut him, like, back? Was it spite? Was it like, we don't want you in another team's mini camp, so we're going to drag this thing on? Because it's Jones. It's like Aaron Jones, Jason. It's like, oh, we love him. We want him back. Oh, here's $3 million. I mean.
Yep.
I don't get
look,
it.
I think Ron Wolf told me a great story when the Browns were trying to hire him for the general manager job there, you know, many moons ago. He'd been retired for several years. And he asked, I think it was Randy Lerner, who was still the owner. He said, well, I'll take the job, but you have to give me 1% ownership. And Randy Lerner's like, no blanking way. He's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, that's what I want. And afterward, I talked to Ron because I was at a phase where I was talking to him all the time because he was retired and had nothing else to talk about. And I asked him, why did you do that? He said, because it forced him to say no to me as opposed to me saying no to the job. And I think that that's at work with the Packers somehow, right? Like, I always use the Jordy Nelson story, which I was talking about yesterday with KBN. Like, they offered Jordy Nelson in 2018, 1 year, $2 million. And he was ready to take it. I can tell you that at the time, both Rodgers and Davante Adams told me that Jordy was going to take the offer because he wanted to play one more year with his guys in Green Bay. His wife wanted to stay here, and then he was going to retire. 1 year, $2 million. And both of those guys said, look, we want to play with you, but you cannot do this. You are still too good of a player to take that kind of bargain basement contract. He ended up getting like $14 million from the Raiders. And while that 1 year was not what he wanted it to be with his guys in Green Bay, and frankly, the 2018 season wasn't what the Packers wanted it to be either, but the point was, is look, you can't accept an offer that is, in Rodgers' words, insulting. And so whether it's Aaron Jones, whether it's that, I mean, I still have people who will argue, well, the Packers offered Davante Adams more than the Raiders did, and he took the money, or he took the Raiders anyway. He passed up more money. No, they made that offer after the die had been cast, and he was never coming back. And when you make an offer that you know he's not going to take, then you get to say, well, we offered him more. And I don't know if it's about winning the PR battle or what, but in the Jair Alexander case, you know, I had not seen his dad's comments. I didn't know that. I thought the only dad that was doing a lot of commenting was either Baron Sorrell in the YouTube comments of our shows or Christian Watson's dad. But, I mean, Goody claims that they didn't make an offer, or at least insinuated that they didn't make an offer at all, knowing that he wasn't going to accept it. But the bottom line is, this was a stupid stalemate, because if he wasn't going to take a pay cut from the Packers and he wasn't going to restructure to facilitate a trade, then what were you waiting for? Because he wasn't going to ever get traded and he wasn't going to play for this team. And the fact that Goody was, theoretically anyway, contemplating whether he was willing to take the risk of having him on the roster at his existing salary, that feels like a fallacy to me. I feel like he would have never actually allowed that to happen.
Yeah, I think that decision was made pretty early in the offseason. But then on top of it, Jason, they decide to just eat all the salary cap hit this year instead of spreading it out, even though they released him after June 6th. But they still have plenty of salary cap space. And I have always been of the belief, sign your guys sooner rather than later, because it's only going to cost more the longer you wait. With that said...
unless you're just not signing guys.
Yeah, with that said, do you believe a deal gets done with Zach Tom, or is this just another thing where Matt LaFleur sees something one way and the front office sees something another way?
Well, I mean, Zach Tom's still got to win the job, right? I mean, he's in a competition. Even though no one else took first team reps at right tackle during all the practices I attended this offseason.
Good nugget, very good nugget.
Explain to me how the offensive line coach basically says, hey, straight up says, hey, yeah, he's in a competition, but the head coach is then out there stumping for him to get an extension.
Yeah, and the offensive coordinator saying he's in a competition too. Look, I don't know. Tash hates it when I say I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, he wanted me to assess the mini camp in some way, and I was like, look, nothing happened. Like, all right, the 75-yard touchdown to Mecole Hardman with a pass rusher in space was an immaculate throw, magnificent throw. But all the rest of this, you know, the idea that, Love is so much more accurate. They ran everything except the two-minute drill at half or three-quarter speed. And I'm sorry, he could be more accurate this season. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not going to go out there and say things that what I watched is not full speed and allow me to actually say things with confidence, right? And so in this case, you know, I don't understand why you would put it out there that a guy is in a competition unless for some odd reason you're just thinking, well, he had that torn pec last year. He didn't play that great, even though he's air quotes third team all pro. He's the only right tackle besides Penei Sewell and Lane Johnson to get votes. I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. I don't know. But at the same time, I keep hearing Goody's little voice in my head before the 2024 draft saying, on average, teams only re-sign 1.6 players per draft class to second contracts. And they've got a hell of a lot of guys that are up this season. Mm-hmm. And is Zach Tom going to get one? In the world that I have grown up in as a reporter covering this team, there's no question that Zach Tom gets an extension. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. That's, you know, Ted Thompson re-signed Brian Bulaga, re-signed Mark Tauscher, re-signed Chad Clifton, re-signed once Mike Wall and Marco Rivera, re-signed Josh Sitton, re-signed TJ Lang, right? All those guys. Re-signed David Bakhtiari. But in this world, I can't say that for certain anymore. I just can't. So do I think that Zach Tom gets an extension? I would certainly blanket hope so, because he is a really, really good football player, and you don't get better letting those guys walk out the door.
We'll leave it there, Jason. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
This is not a drill. If you make a hole-in-one at X-Golf inside American Family Field, you could win the ultimate Brewers prize. Yeah, think about it. Think about what's inside AmFam. Think about where X-Golf is, what's right next to it. How about a trip down Bernie's slide? Nail the shot. You and a friend get game tickets and up to 5 trips down that iconic slide. Yes, hole-in-one, suddenly you're living every fan's childhood dream. Or, you know, really everybody's dream, because you don't have to be a child to want to go down that slide. Book your swing at X-Golf inside American Family Field, open to the public 7 days a week.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation every time Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next Next night out, revel in the fusion, artistry, and flavor with sushi at St. Kate. It offers guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate the Arts Hotel introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate and learn more at stkatearts.com. All eyes on the north side of Chicago this week as your Milwaukee Brewers take on the Chicago Cubs, still chasing in the standings, but an opportunity to close the gap with a successful series down at Wrigley Field. And I said this to Gabe yesterday, it's a big series. It's a big deal. And you said, is it?
It's June. You can have a big series. This is a fun series, sure. You want to catch the Cubs? Yeah. But ultimately, these three games in June, is that going to matter? I mean, every game matters the same amount, but it's June. Like even if you get swept by the Cubs this week, there are still 3.5 months left in this season to overcome a three-game losing streak.
I would agree.
It's a fun series,
yeah.
Sure, but in baseball, a big series doesn't really exist until September.
Does it? I mean, if this was August and they get, if it was a four-game series and gets swept.
Yeah, it gets bigger and bigger as the season goes along.
But yeah.
Look, it's just, there's just so many games left, so much time left. We're not even at the halfway point.
Yeah, it's a nice, sunny,
it's fun. It's fun. Like, I'm not saying don't tune in and watch and enjoy, especially if
not
the Brewers.
The end of the world.
Yeah, if the Brewers win three in a row. But we've done this before where, you know, the Brewers got swept or lost 2 out of 3 to the A's a couple of years ago, and Tausch and Jesse and the clowns on Wildy and Tausch decided, oh, Brewers are done, can't make the playoffs, and they won the division going away.
But to be fair, in that instance, the A's were not the team they were chasing in the division, and it does feel like the Cubs are having one of those seasons where they can do no wrong. Are they going to lose games? Yes. But right now, they're one of the best teams in baseball, according to the stats. So, again, I think from a mental standpoint, look, I agree with your point, which is it's a three-game series in the month of June, still a lot of ball game left, if you will. But I also think that to win this series would do great things for your confidence and see that you can hang with this squad. That, like what I love about what has happened recently in this division, guys, is that you are seeing this rivalry sort of intensify. Right? You got the Cubs having success. You got the Brewers having success. They sort of batted around. You got the Craig Council angle. There's all sorts of things for you to get excited about. I am not going to dismiss it out of hand. I'm hopeful that the Brewers can win the series, especially as we talked about having Patrick and Mizorowski and Freddie Peralta on the hill for these three games.
Yeah, do I hope the Brewers win? Yeah, but it's just not.
I think it's like
any other
sport.
It doesn't prove anything either way. If you win three in a row or lose, the Brewers swept the Phillies not that long ago. We know the Brewers can play really good baseball. It's sometimes over the course of 162, you have a week that's bad. Like, I don't think they need to prove anything to themselves or anybody. Everybody knows that this is a solid baseball team. Again, it's June. Like, again, it's going to be fun. It's always fun when you play the Cubs, especially with Benedict Council down there managing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun, but it can't be a big
series.
Like
last year when the Packers played Philadelphia, first game of the year and lose. Not the end of the world. You know,
we all talk about every that foreshadowed who they would ultimately lose to in the postseason.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying.
But you always talk about peaking. Well, do they want to peak right now? And
no,
you know, going around. No, you want to peak in September. You know,
I mean, the biggest thing that happened in the Packers Eagles game last year wasn't the fact that they lost the game.
Yeah, Jordan.
It's that Jordan Love got hurt.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing that happened.
So I just want to be clear, though, guys, because if they lose, I mean, that deficit feels big, right? They're 5.5 games back now. It's a 3-game series. So go ahead and do the math, y'all. That, to me, is where it feels like you don't want to put that much distance between yourself and the team in front of the division. That's again, I understand you can lose 3-game series here, you can get swept here and here, but the fact that it is against the Cubs, the team that you are chasing, the team that you expect to be fighting for that division title, that's where it becomes a little more intense than just your average June series.
But then you pivot to the wild card.
There's 89 right? games left.
Still got that Meat Lover's Pizza in the trunk.
Well, exactly. And honestly, the wild card's more realistic right now because you are closer in the wild card than anything else.
Yeah.
You're a game back of the Padres for a wild card spot. But also, there's 89 games left.
Yeah, they got time.
At the end of the series, there's 86 games left.
Yeah.
Like, there's still so much baseball and so much that can happen.
It's a fun series.
Yeah. Like, again, you lose the series 2-1. Okay, so you drop a game in the stand. You're 6.5 back. You win, you're 4.5 back. I mean, it just, again, unless you get swept or you do the sweeping, there's not a lot of gains to be made over the course of just 3 games.
Let us know what you think. 800-990-3776. Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Is this series a big series? Cubs versus Brewers. Brewers chasing down the Cubs, or at least trying to, in the NL Central. A 3-game series at Wrigley Field. We'll take a break. There is a player on the Chicago Cubs that, you know, is gaining traction, is sort of one of the best players in Major League Baseball right now. And he has a very interesting family tree. We'll get into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Stick around.
I want to tell you about a decision I made a couple of years ago, and that was to join the Wisconsin Country Club. I was looking for a place where I could enjoy the course, play it a bunch, but you don't get sick and tired of it. It is a challenging course. It is a fun course. Plus, one of my favorite things as a golf nut, the practice areas are fantastic. Whether it's the driving range, the couple of different greens they have for short game work, plus the putting green, I can always just pop up there, get some swings in if I don't have time to play an entire round. Plus, at Wisconsin Country Club, no assessments, no food and beverage minimums, just the incredible challenging course that I love and other top tier amenities like tennis, pickleball, and a pool. We just announced that we've got a pickleball pro that's going to be helping out people get better at pickleball if that's your thing. So get started today, thewisconsincountryclub.com. It's just a fairway away.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What'd you just say?
Robust.
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 You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice rebound. Word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat. Well, you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center to see my guy, Dean Dean, the dancing machine. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The jewelry center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when it comes for that day for my four boys to take that next step in their lives, you can bet they will be heading over to the machine to get their rings at the jewelry center. They have great offers, great deals, and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for the rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the jewelry center and had a great experience with the jewelry center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their 3 locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington today, or check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
Crow Armstrong is the name that Brewers fans should probably be familiar with, as he is, well, the best player on the Chicago Cubs right now. Leads the team in home runs and stolen bases, best defender, does everything well. Having an MVP caliber season can beat you in a lot of ways. Interesting family tree for Pete Crow Armstrong. His mom, an actress, Ashley Crow, was the mom in Little Big League.
A it's a great movie.
From when we were kids. Gabe
it's
is
a great
like,
movie.
He's all about
fantastic
this.
Movie. Little Big League is
what's
so
the, what's the plot?
Fantastic. If you are unfamiliar with Little Big League, I feel sorry for you because that's how good it is. She plays the mom. Pete Crow Armstrong's mom plays the mom in the movie of a kid who's 12 years old, Billy, and his grandfather dies.
Of course it's Billy.
Yeah, of course his name's Billy. His grandfather dies. His grandfather is the owner of the Minnesota Twins. And he leaves Billy the Twins because Billy loves baseball, right? So he takes over as the owner of the Twins, doesn't like the manager, this guy who doesn't let the boys have fun, too uptight. So he fires the manager, takes over himself, 12-year-old, managing in the big leagues. They go on a remarkable run, come just short of making the playoffs. They ended up playing game 163 against the Seattle Mariners. So Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson have some pretty fantastic cameos in that movie. But it is phenomenal.
And very realistic, as we have heard from Gabe. So we were thinking...
What did I say? That seemed unrealistic.
Well, I don't know, the 12-year-old not only owning the team, but then firing the manager so he can manage the team. Who is he, Jerry Jones?
Look, hard to argue with the results. All right, it was really hard to argue with the results, Jen. If you've seen the movie and you see how they rallied together under Billy's leadership, it's just a story
inspiring.
That's going to touch your
heart.
Who
was the lead?
His name is Luke Edwards. Played Billy Haywood. So that got a 6.2 ranking from IMDb.
Way too low. People don't understand.
And I thought, that sounds like a very unrealistic plot. What else are unrealistic plots from children's baseball movies? Well, we got quite the list. Have you heard of Angels in the Outfield, guys? Have you seen Angels in the Outfield, Chew? You remember that one?
No. I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Gabe, please give him the synopsis of Angels in the Outfield.
So couple of kids who are in foster care. One who wants to live with his dad, and his dad said, okay, when the Angels win the pennant. The Angels are a really bad baseball team, Chew. They're just historically bad. Kid says a little prayer. Christopher Lloyd ends up being his guardian angel, comes down, helps the Angels.
Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Yes, Christopher Lloyd.
Okay.
He's an angel, Chew.
Okay.
So Matthew McConaughey, this is one of his
really?
First roles ever.
Danny
Glover,
he's Tony Danza.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Packer movie that they just
remember the
put
scene,
out.
The kids do this,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The wings.
Yeah, so the kid ends up connecting with, again, the manager of the Angels, and that was the sign, flapping your arms, that there's an angel out
there.
The
dirty bird.
That there is an angel helping somebody.
Okay.
That one felt also unrealistic.
Now, the most unrealistic part about that movie is Tony Danza's character, who is a pitcher, is pitching the final game. And they've got the announcers in the booth. He's pitching to what's going to end up being the last batter of the game. Just casually, very casually, the announcer goes, his arm's got to be tired. He's thrown 156 pitches.
Yeah. Half a cup.
So two
that's
games
the most,
then.
That's the most unrealistic thing in that movie.
56
just I know it's the mid-90s. That's negligence. Let your guy go for 160.
I got another list of movies here. Bad News Bears, which, by the way, got a 7.3 on IMDb. Alcoholic Misfit, coaching the former minor leaguer coaching a children's team. That also feels
realistic. I had some coaches that crushing breath mints during the game. Yeah.
All right, so we'll slide that
the
one
70s,
over.
The 70s were a different time,
yeah.
John.
The realistic
very different time.
Side of the ledger. Sandlot, which has a 7.8 on IMDb, I think is the most realistic, right? It's a bunch of kids who are
just playing
together.
Baseball, yeah.
The one kid moves. He doesn't know baseball, so his buddies end up teaching him, and then they lose the ball. Obviously, everybody knows the plot line of the Sandlot. But to me, that's the most realistic of the children's movies that we have discussed thus far. Sounds like Bad News Bears but might be next. Hardball, a movie I was not familiar with, but Gabe, once again, this is like his wheelhouse all of a sudden. So Hardball is a Keanu Reeves movie about youth baseball.
So another degenerate who ends up taking over a little league team, but he's a gambler, he's in debt, goes to a buddy who's a stockbroker to try to have him borrow the money so he can repay his debts. So his buddy says, well, I'm supposed to coach this youth baseball team. If you coach this team, I'll pay you. And he ends up coaching this intercity youth baseball team. They make a rally, and of course, everybody comes together. Really sad, though, because the youngest member of the team, who isn't allowed to play, him and his brother get caught in some crossfire. And G-Baby dies. Like, G-Baby dying in that movie.
Sounds a little Bad News Bears ripoff.
It's pretty heavy.
Well, except first time I cried.
Wow. Oh, yeah. G-Baby dying?
Wait, the first time you ever cried watching a movie was Hardball?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I didn't
really?
Realize you
took
were
me out.
One of those core memory
well,
type moments.
Well, again,
here.
It's like you think it's all these other movies we've mentioned are heartwarming movies. Tragedy isn't supposed to be striking in Act 3 at the Mm-mm. very end. Like, no. You expect G-Baby is one of the most heartwarming and endearing characters in the entire movie. He dies at the end.
Yeah, but Amanda couldn't finish the game because she threw her elbow out, and that's why the Bad News Bears ultimately lost. So that was pretty sad for me, too.
She didn't die!
No, but
She might have needed Tommy John.
She didn't die in her brother's arms.
How about Rookie of the Year? Rookie of the Year also on this list. Gabe, you think that is the most unrealistic film?
So bad, but so good.
Though. Oh, it's so good.
Floating.
Did yeah.
Speaking of the Cubs,
by the way. Am I the only one who, as a child, after seeing that movie, kind of wanted to break their arm
no,
to see
did.
If you could throw that hard?
Everyone wanted to.
Like, right? Like,
break it. Come on, break it. Holding it behind your back, having your friend yank it up. Come
did
on.
Did you just say funky butt
loving? That was the best part of the whole movie. Well, I still use that funky. Did he just say funky butt loving?
Yeah. Daniel Stern is totally underrated in that film, by the way. It's like the comic relief.
Hot ice. You heat up the ice cubes.
but as much as we think that Rookie of the Year and breaking your arm and being able to throw a whatever it was 100 mile an hour fastball is unrealistic, Air Bud seventh inning fetch, which got a 4.4 on IMDb, is probably the winner here, right?
I am not as familiar with Air Bud seventh inning fetch. Again, I think this is a situation where the sequel's not as good as the original, because originally Air Bud was a basketball player.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Seventh inning fetch. Yes, that is the most unrealistic of the children's baseball movies, in honor of Pete Pro Armstrong, who will be playing in the series Cubs versus Brewers at Wrigley Field starting today. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.